Chinese manufacturing contracts and markets around the world react. From Marketplace, I'm Noel King, and for David Brancaccio. Fears over an economic slowdown in China were stoked further this morning after the release of some unimpressive manufacturing figures. Joining us now is Justin Urquhart-Stewart with Seven Investment Management. Hello, Justin.
Hello, nice to speak to you.
We learned this morning that Chinese manufacturing in August contracted at its fastest pace in 3 years. What's going on there?
What we've seen is in China, obviously, the figures showing a slowdown. Certainly, when you look at these purchasing managers' indicators and manufacturing figures, certainly underline now, they've crossed that line of 50 points. Above 50, it's growing. Below 50, it's shrinking. And the first time, it's shrinking on manufacturing and looking a bit softer on the services side as well. So that gave, I'm afraid, every reason for markets not to actually be very enthusiastic at the moment as we get used to China not stopping, but actually just growing at a slower rate.
You know, we've had plenty of not so great Chinese manufacturing data over the past couple of months. Is today different in some way, or is it just adding more fuel to the fire, so to speak?
Over the past few weeks, frankly, none of the news we've had has been, well, new news. No, what has changed is one of those vital market words, sentiment. The sentiment was a few weeks ago, the glass was still half full. Now you would actually say, well, maybe it's changed and the glass is half empty. But if you're Chinese, and particularly in the Chinese stock market, there's a serious suspicion that the glass might actually be cracked.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart is an investment manager at Seven Investment Management. Justin, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Let's take a look at some numbers. Asian markets closed down today on that manufacturing news. There was mixed manufacturing data out of Europe. The FT 100 in London is down 2.15%, the CAC 40 in Paris down 2%, the German DAX down 2.4%. U.S. stock futures are also down in the 2% range. Last year, 27 million Americans were contacted by a collection agency about unpaid medical bills. Now, a new FCC ruling will make it harder to track debtors down on their cell phones. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein has the details.
The new rule clarifies that collection agencies can robocall someone on their cell, but only if that person consented to those calls for billing issues. Robert Fole with the Association of Credit and Collection Professionals says the problem is when a person changes numbers.
You're still on the hook from a liability perspective if you make a call to the new person who owns that phone.
As in facing fines of up to $1,500 per call. Medical debt is big business in the U.S., and according to NerdWallet, Americans paid three times more for medical debt than bank and credit card debt combined in 2012, collecting $21 billion from consumers. Margot Saunders, an attorney with the National Consumer Law Center, says the industry must curb its practices.
This is a situation where debt collectors are calling the wrong people far too many times.
Saunders says companies can still send emails, make non-robocalls, and send snail mail. Of course, the industry argues that's going to cost. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
With the Shanghai stock market hitting the skids, a safer place for Chinese investors may be luxury real estate here in the U.S. That's not a tip. It's actually a growing trend. This year, Chinese passed Canadians as the biggest foreign buyers of U.S. homes. The luxury housing market is very competitive, and high-end showings have gone way beyond an open house and a sign in the yard. From KPCC in Los Angeles, Ben Bergman reports on just how far some realtors are going in this hot market.
When a couple from Argentina visited here recently, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to live in Malibu or Beverly Hills. Must be nice. So a company called Hella Realtors took them on aerial tours of homes in both well-to-do areas. Of course, you could drive to the properties, but who's in a mood to shell out tens of millions when they've just been crawling along LA freeways?
You cut out the traffic. You don't spend 2 hours in the car just commuting from home to home.
That's Matthew Gaskell, who sells luxury real estate for Sotheby's. He says time is of the essence because many buyers of the priciest properties these days are foreign, usually from Asia or Europe. They're looking for a good investment in a market they see as more stable than home, plus a vacation pad.
They may come in town for a few days to shop for a house.
Or they may not come at all.
We don't put out any of our homes these days without a video.
When Gaskell and his partner, Elisa Peterson, were selling a celebrity home, they commissioned a video showing what the estate looks like at sunset.
It is Hollywood production. It's actors. It's full-day shooting. It's large production teams.
Peterson says the idea is not only to be selling a house, but a lifestyle. When a $35 million Malibu mansion went on the market, the seller hired a Hollywood director to make this elaborately shot short. The Spider and the Fly, as it was titled, got delivered to a few chosen prospective buyers on gift-wrapped iPads. But Peterson says bigger budgets aren't always better. Glitz and glamour can work for modern mansions.
Other homes, you want to have more of a home feel. You want to have soft light in. You don't want to have a model rolling up in a Ferrari.
Funding all these movies and helicopter tours takes a bite out of the agent's commission. Peterson could shell out thousands out of pocket and get nothing if a buyer decides on second thought, LA isn't for him.
It is the cost of doing business. And you have to have an attitude where it's just, okay, if it's not this one, I can get it in the next one.
Because the next one could bring a $1 million payday. In Los Angeles, I'm Ben Bergman for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho and Katie Long. Coming to you from studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey, I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.